Welcome to Highly Political, a podcast where two passionate ladies smoke weed, talk politics, laugh, and sometimes cry. With special guests from the world of comedy, cannabis, and politics.
We haven't worked on Capitol Hill, but that's okay. We're paying attention, and so should you.
We want you to be informed, like little democracy angels. So pack your bowl, grab some snacks, and let's get into it. And remember, when they go low, we get high. Today we're smoking the famous Indica Dominant Northern Lights.
If you want to release tension, this is a great strain for decompression, which this pod is all about.
We both have something to say about Mississippi, as will the Supreme Court this fall when they listen to Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization.
And we pay tribute to our Queen of the Week, my Grandpa Jack. May he rest in peace.
All right, T, light it up.
How are you doing today, Sammy?
No.
Oh my God, are you okay? Oh my God, what's happening? Do you ashy bowl? Do you get ash in your throat? Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Just swallow. Just breathe. Try breathing your nose. Put your arms out wide. Open up those, expand those lungs. There you go. There you go. Okay, oh, big cough. There you go. Is it stuck on the back of your throat? Little like weed crumbs?
Uh-huh.
That's the worst feeling.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. Yeah, drink a little water. There you go. I don't know if that's water. I just make an assumption. Oh, gargling. That helps. Okay. And oh. I did not see that coming.
Woo!
You feeling better?
Well, that's my one shot or my one a hit for the day.
I'm gonna finish my bowl on that note.
Just gonna move this bowl over here. And on the other side of the table now. Nice seeing you, bud.
Well, aside from your near choking experience, how are you doing, Sammy?
I had an odd day. I could not concentrate for the life of me, having some concentration issues, unfortunately, but we're trying to get through them.
There you go. There you go. It's a lot to think about these days.
Yeah.
So I get why. Well, it's been an interesting day. I guess we'll just kind of start off on the top half of the ep, and we're going to dedicate this episode to our Queen of the Week.
Queen of the Week. Queen of the Week. It's the Queen of the Week,
which is my Papa Jack, John LeBeau, passed away early this morning. Well, I guess not too early this morning. It was like right before noon. My mom called me to let me know. He had been sick for the last over a month or so, in a lot of pain. So, you know, grateful to see him finally pass on and no longer be in pain. One thing that was interesting, well, my mom was telling me one of the last, I guess, like, you know, he kind of stopped really talking or having conversations this past Thursday was really one of the last conversations she said she had with him. But one of the last things he said, one of the hospice nurses was over, and I guess the nurse was talking about it. I mentioned that he was like a Trump supporter, which my mom was disappointed in because it was one of her favorite nurses. But somehow they were talking about like CNN, and the nurse was saying how like CNN doesn't report the news properly and doesn't give all the facts. And my papa was saying how like, yeah, you know, the media needs to report the news correctly and give all the facts. So, you know, Fox News was heavy on his mind until the end. even when he got out of the hospital, he was still like trying to send donations to the Republican Party.
Oh, God.
One of the last conversations we had.
That's some dedication right there.
I mean, that's the thing is like, yeah, people are committed. I just thought that was so interesting that in like his final hours or final moments of being able to be cognizant, he wanted to like reprimand and like CNN and quote unquote mainstream media for not telling the truth. He was an interesting character. He's definitely one of those fathers knows best type of guys, you know, grew up back in, you know, I'm trying to think what year he was born, but you know, and one of the last conversations we had, you know, my mom was over with him when he was back at the house after getting out of that hospital. And I was talking to him, oh, where do you live? And, oh, yeah, Papa, I'm living in LA now. So that, and, oh, are you married? No. Do you have any kids? No. How old are you? 34. He's like, 34, single, no kids. It's pretty old or something. Okay, well,
R.I.P. Grandpa Jack. Okay, cool.
So yeah, even his last moments, he also had time to shade me. When I told him I was, you know, he's just a very interesting character. I had some very interesting times with him, but you know, again, thankful for my mom to be able to be with him in his final days, give him some comfort and joy. You know, even though he's an eccentric man and he definitely would not enjoy most of the things we talk about on this podcast, you know, happy to have him as our queen of the week and put a little tribute in our way that we can. So to Papa Jack.
All right.
Yeah, so that's how my day started. I talked on the phone with my mom for a bit about how he passed away, did a little bit of work, smoked a little bit of weed. I'm happy to have this space to now decompress and talk about other bullshit going on in the world. Get a little high with you, Sammy.
Well.
My God, why do you look so high, though?
I really am.
Yo, it looked like a cartoon character high. That was amazing.
Well, this is me. Mississippi.
Oh my God. It's so funny, right?
Mississippi.
Right before we got on the pod, we're like, so what did you want to talk about today? I was like, oh, Mississippi. Sam's like, I also want to talk about Mississippi. Apparently a lot of fucked up shit's happening in Mississippi because we both want to talk about different things.
And T, yours is about cannabis, right?
It is. Yes, 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 yes.
Maybe we'll jump into the cannabis aspect.
Yeah, of course.
Mississippi.
So in November, this past election, on about a 3-1 margin, Mississippians voted in cannabis legalization initiatives. The first one basically asked if they wanted to legalize cannabis. They're like, yeah. The second one provided a business-friendly industry framework that had no limit on the number of licenses. So they were getting like the framework in. I think they were saying that they expected by like August 15th that people would be able to start applying for licenses and for, you know, permits to be able to be like a patient because it was a medicinal program. The mayor of Madison Mayor Mary Hawkins Butler sued literally like a couple days even before the election. Saying that the initiative should not have been on the ballot because it didn't meet a state standard requiring an equal number of signatures from 5 former congressional districts. So basically, they had to get about 20% of signatures in each one of the 5 congressional districts.
Yeah, okay.
To like put something petitions. Put on the ballot. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the thing. After the 2000 census, Mississippi reduced from 5 congressional districts to 4.
I saw that. when I was looking at it, I thought, man, this is not a lot of congressional districts in the state.
So there aren't 5 congressional districts. But you know, the people who worked and, you know, were activating, or the activists who got this initiative on the ballot, fucking knew that this fuck shit was going to happen.
Ooh,
so they made sure to get signatures 5% based off of the old map that was all 5 congressional districts. So they could be like, look, well, just a few days ago, the Supreme Court in Mississippi struck it down and basically said that the initiative's invalid, and that it's cannabis is no longer going through. It was projected in the first year, they said, to generate $265 million in sales, And after that, annually, about $800 million. And we all know fucking Mississippi could use that money.
Yep.
And it's a 3-to-1 margin. I mean, the people voted for this.
Yeah, that... I'll really never get over that.
Yeah, and this, the Supreme Court said, whether with intent, by oversight, or for some other reason, the drafters of Section 273.3 wrote a ballot initiative process that cannot work in a world where Mississippi has fewer than 5 representatives in Congress. To work in today's reality, it will need amending, something that lies beyond the power of the Supreme Court. So basically, they have to go now and try to amend or change the wording in that law that says it has to have the 5 districts.
No, I think our kook of the week is actually for this initiative.
Interesting. So it's like, it's just so fucked to me. Like how... So hopefully they can change that. What's interesting is that there were all thinking about all the other initiatives, including like a voter ID like law that has been passed since the census, the congressional districts have changed. But so like laws, initiatives moving forward are basically on pause, but they haven't decided what's going to happen to initiatives
in general or just for cannabis.
No, like anything that's like
any new initiatives.
Is like on pause, and this one's like
so fucked up.
Yeah. So, but then they're not sure what's gonna happen about things that happened prior, because basically, you think about it, if that stands, anything from 2000 on that shouldn't count. If the census for the 2000 census changed the congressional districts from 5 to 4.
Right.
So again, it just shows it's like that fuck shit, because, you know, the Republicans pushed a voter ID, voter ID law after 2000. But nobody came out being like, but hey, it's actually 4 out of the 5, that 5 districts that don't exist anymore. And so, yeah, so it's just some bullshit. It's disappointing to see that overwhelmingly the people of Mississippi wanted to enact these laws and technicalities, and like, you know, and even prior to the vote, this one mayor was already trying to like fuck it all up. And another thing that happened with the Supreme Court in the last couple of days in Mississippi is a Mississippi man who's Alan Russell, he's 38 years old. He's going to continue to serve out a life sentence handed down to him for cannabis possession. So basically, he appealed to the court this past Tuesday. So because he has previous convictions and he's a repeat offender, his cannabis conviction is what gave him a life sentence. So he received life imprisonment in 2019 after a jury found him guilty of possessing more than 30 grams. So just a little bit over an ounce of cannabis. Yeah. Actually, I think he had 44 grams, but normally that gives you...
So it was like a selling charge. He was with the intent.
It just says possession. Nothing I've seen says possession and intent.
Huh.
Which I also thought was interesting. But he says totally he had nearly 44 grams, but normally under Mississippi law, possession between 30 to 250 grams can carry a punishment up to 3 years and a $3,000 fine.
Okay, so that's nowhere near a life sentence, though.
So, unfortunately for Russell, or Alan Russell, I should say, state law also dictates that a defendant can be sentenced to life without parole after serving at least 1 year in prison on 2 separate felonies, one being a violent offense. In 2004, he was convicted of 2 home burglaries. And then in 2015, he was found guilty of unlawful possession of a firearm. He served 8.5 years for the first charge for the burglaries. And then he served 2 years for the second charge. And in Mississippi, burglary is considered a violent offense.
Oh yeah, because I guess what is armed, like it didn't say he was armed, or it just said burglary.
Yeah, it didn't even say armed burglary.
Interesting. Well, I mean, I understand that just so those are some those are some strict laws. Those are some strict laws.
So 38 years old, and because he has those 2 prior offenses, he's going to serve life in prison.
Dude, that's rough.
For cannabis. And they were like, you know, I think it was 6-3 or something, you know, and one of the judges when his dissent was basically saying, like, we should be able to make amendments or adjust certain sentencing based off these, like, repeat offenders, because a lot of the way the laws are written for repeat offenders, it kind of becomes this, like, just stamp of, like, you know, just the same shit versus, like, does this make sense? Does it make sense that his, I guess in California, it's like, what, the three strikes are out. His third strike was possessing cannabis. And like I said, I didn't see anything about intent to sell, which I don't think that could also would equate to putting you in
jail for life.
But thing, you know, like,
if he's guilty of those and he was convicted and he served, whatever. Like, it shouldn't be that idea of, oh, they're a criminal. They're in jail already. It's lawfully that's not even illegal anymore what he was convicted of. So he served his time for the crimes that he was convicted of. Right.
It sounds like he didn't have to, like, serve, like, the full sentencing of those previous crimes, right, which is, like, crazy. So that's, again, and I think this is something we always come back to on different episodes, but it's just so easy to forget. It's easy to get jaded when you live in a recreational state and a state with such cannabis history and just, you know, like California, and you just forget that this kind of bullshit is happening all over the place. And
it also comes down to, it doesn't even come down to just like privilege, but just straight up literal, these aren't conveniences. These are rights, that we have more rights than these other states. Mm-hmm. It's not just the luxury of, oh, we can light up and we can possess and it's fine. It's the actual, they have less rights than us. This goes back to Mississippi, because they're also, they're taking, Supreme Court's seeing a law that's going to ban abortion at like 15 weeks.
Oh yeah, I did.
For viability. Mm-hmm. And, some more rights that Mississippi would like to take away from its constituents.
I mean, I never was trying to fuck with Mississippi anyway. Definitely not right now.
No way.
Road trip to Mississippi? I think not.
Yeah, the conservative majority Supreme Court is anxiously and speedily said they would take on two laws. One's an abortion law that would effectively reverse Roe v. Wade in a lot of states, because they have trigger laws that once certain things are overturned federally, their state laws will be changed effective immediately.
Oh, okay. Jesus.
I know.
We got that, but again, still can't have Election Day as a national holiday. Okay, it make sense, but
it just doesn't. The Supreme Court's gonna see this case, and for those of you who don't remember, the Supreme Court is now made up of Elena Kagan, who is an Obama appointee, Sonia Sotomayor, an Obama appointee, Stephen Breyer was Clinton. There are progressive judges. And then John G. Roberts, who is conservative, but sometimes is the tiebreaker and has ruled in progressives' favor a few times. And then Clarence Thomas, known for sexually harassing Anita Hill, appointed by Bush 1.
So I don't mean to laugh, like, sexual harassment's so funny. Just laugh at the fact that that's great. One of our Supreme Court justices.
Samuel A. Alito was a W appointee. Mm. And we have our Motley Trump crew. We got Brett Booth Kavanaugh. We got Neil. It should have been Merrick Garland, Gorsuch, and Amy Speaks in Tongues, Cuckoo Barrett.
Oh, Cuckoo Barrett! I like that.
The three aforementioned Motley Crues, all very, very anti-choice. Vocal about anti-choice and abortion. All Gorsuch and Amy, I believe, are actually religious. I feel like Brett is just a fake. He's more of a conservative and less than a religious. He's more of an actual idealist conservative, and then, you know, pretends he enjoys church. But the other two, for real, will just, you know, not separate church and state, and say that God is God, they're going with God and saving the babies. So they're going to see that this fall. They're also going to see a gun case. Do you think if the Supreme Court is going to rule to restrict abortion rights, do you think they'll rule to restrict any gun rights, Tiana? Because I don't think so.
Listen, I know normally when you give me these little quizzes, I always fuck up and like get it way off. On this one, I'm going to get it right. The answer is no.
Not a chance. They're also seeing NY State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Corlett. So we'll review a New York law upheld by the lower courts that requires individuals to get a license to carry a concealed gun outside the home.
Wait, so they
people so currently don't want they that? Do. So currently, like, New York courts
requires that,
but somebody is appealing.
Someone's like, no, I should just be able to just carry my gun on me because on me,
yeah, it's Corlett.
Have a license.
Whoever Corlett is, albeit that maybe they're one person, maybe they're a company, maybe they're a store. I don't know what, but
interesting.
And the Supreme Court, they decide to take on cases, so they decided to take on these two. Yeah. I mean, I'm imagining it's like a majority situation to take on cases and who's in the majority.
Right, right.
Because if you imagine if you had a more liberal court, they probably would not see the abortion case. And they probably would see the gun case.
And is there any like stipulations in like the whole 15-week thing or like requirements they're trying to put in? Or is it just like 15 weeks?
So right now it's 21 weeks, I believe, in Roe v. Wade, I'm pretty sure. And it's just making it shorter and shorter and shorter until heartbeat bills, you know?
Right. I know I always like to, you know, bring my little anecdotes from TikTok, but I follow this one TikTok of this group who are, I can't remember basically like what they call themselves. Basically, they're like volunteers who work outside of a like Planned Parenthood type of facility to help escort patients in, because there's normally a lot of like protesters or people trying to like deter them from going in. But it's so interesting to like watch these TikToks and see the people who are like the protesters and the ways they try to like trick people into thinking that they work for the facility. Like one of them was like in scrubs, like one guy was wearing the same color, like the escorts wear these like rainbowed colored vests that like kind of like caution vests.
My friend Kathy escorts. Shout out to Kathy.
I gotta look into, because I think that'd be really cool. I would love to do that. But it's just like, you know, and they're like telling people to drive in. And I saw a video recently where one of the protesters, yeah, I even hate to call them protesters, even though they are protesting something, but it's just like, I just feel like they're being more like instigators. You know what I mean? Like they're not even protesting. Like protesting would be one thing, but it feels like they're going in there trying to cause havoc. You know, even the fact that the one woman's wearing scrubs, trying to confuse people, trying to send them somewhere different. It's just bizarre. But anyway, that's,
you know, what actually, I don't even think the 20-year ban is on Roe v. Wade. Or 20 week is on Roe v. Wade.
Hey, get on. 20 years old, I'm kind of over you. I'm tired of paying for your college.
Just like, you know, any ban at a certain week, because, you know, majority. So basically, like, majority of abortions, 99% of abortions occur before 21 weeks.
Right.
And as we've said on the pod, from, you know, research, anecdote, laws that have been written, that most cases when you're a late term abortion, it's because there's a medical emergency.
Right.
It's so Republicans use like, any excuse for this to be later on. Like, oh, you know, this is where you get the 9-month abortion.
Yeah. And like, I feel like, you know, abortion is technically a DNC. So I feel like any like ectopic pregnancy would fall under that. You know what I mean? Like as a quote unquote abortion.
Yeah.
But it was like a non-viable pregnancy anyway. So like, but I'm just saying like that those numbers probably go into those statistics of like quote unquote late term abortions.
And according to PlannedParenthoodAction.org, according to Planned Parenthood, 61% of all voters say abortion should be legal after 20 weeks. Democrats, Republicans, and independents say this is the wrong issue for lawmakers to be spending time on. Okay. So it's like, no one cares. This is just always a rallying cry for the, you know, the base. It's despicable.
It is.
And our... crazy old kook of the week.
It's the crazy old kook of the week. Why you gotta be so fucking crazy?
Is the Attorney General of Mississippi, Lynn Fitch.
What did Lynn do now?
Well, she's very happy that this is being taken to the courts and... she thinks that the Mississippi legislature enacted this law consistent with the will of its constituents to promote women's health and preserve the dignity and sanctity of life. Preserve the dignity and sanctity of life, if you're going for that route, sure. But for mother's health, get out of here. For the woman, like, no. It's not for women's health. Planned Parenthood serves so many other medical assistance for women, right. Checkups,
and then it's like
prescriptions.
What was the phrase again about life and health?
To promote women's health and preserve the dignity and sanctity of life.
So like it'd be interesting to see like what other things they've enacted in their state to do the latter of that sentence. You know what I mean? Like how are you like making life better for your constituents outside of this? You know, again, to me, this seems like this would be the last thing I'd be looking at. You know, like there's so many other things that you could help make people's lives better, that this focus on this, like you said, it becomes just like a show. It's a way to pander to a certain audience, and it's always going to be like a hot topic, I guess. But it's just, I just find the argument about being pro-life, about how you want to lives is so hypocritical.
It's hypocritical.
Don't do much for the lives of the people that are here. It's just, it just doesn't make sense to me. But go off, Lynn, so, I guess.
Lynn, bitch. According to the Guttmacher Institute, an abortion rights research group that tracked abortion trends, the state's abortion rate increased by 16% in 2011, one of the only six states to see an increase during that time period, despite the passage of multiple laws restricting abortion access. Okay, so in 2011, they had 16%. In 2014, they increased by 13%.
Is there any reason why?
Or
a reason why they think that?
Yes, because of the slight decrease now is because this institute, when they did the study, they weren't accounting for out of state people from Mississippi who travel out of state.
A lot of people do that.
So now, you know, they have to leave the state for a procedure they could easily have gotten done closer to their home.
A lot of people do. It's so interesting. A lot of people leave states for abortions, and a lot of people are nomads too for cannabis, right? Like they have to like move to a state where cannabis is medicinally or recreationally legal because of ailments or things that they're suffering from or their children are suffering from is like a big thing. There was a documentary on Fox a while ago. Is Vox TV still a thing? I can't remember, but Vice, not Vox, Vice.
Oh,
Vice,
I don't know, actually.
Vice. Yeah, I don't know about Vice. I almost was on a game show for Vice that was going to be like... It was like cannabis, road rules combined, and me and my roommate audition for it. It was like a virtual audition, but we got like through a couple of rounds, and then they hit us up being like, you know, we're actually not moving forward with the show, which, to be honest with you, like, working in cannabis and knowing all the like red tape and legalization or like regulations with cannabis, a lot of stuff they were telling me what the show was going to be, I was like, I don't think you're going to get first of all, I think that's legal, and you're definitely going to get insured on
it. Was going to be in Colorado, right?
Yeah, it was supposed to be in Colorado, and you're supposed to be like in RVs, and it was like a game show, trivia, smoking weed.
I have auditioned with Christian, and we got through you? We got through a few rounds too.
I mean, it sounded like it could have been cool, but it just sounded super like illegal.
I mean, in the end, I probably would have backed down because I'd be like, wait a minute, I can't smoke every day.
Oh yeah, you would not. I mean,
I wouldn't be able to survive. I'd have 18 panic attacks on the show.
No, I think I could have won. I think, but I was gonna back down because I was like, I don't know if this is gonna be really like. At the time, the company I was working for, I was like really like dedicated to. And I was like, I don't know if this is like the right look for the company, you know, and I don't want my face. And I was kind of like a rep for that brand. So I just felt like it maybe might not be a good look. So there was part of me that was kind of relieved when they said it wasn't going to go through. But, you know, also like having worked in like film and stuff, I just thought like the insurance on this, like,
oh yeah,
the stuff you guys are writing out, like there's no way you guys didn't get this approved. So yeah, I got canceled. But, oh, one thing I did want to say, which was a fact, when I was talking about people who are serving life convictions for cannabis, a statistic I saw is that right now there's at least 69 people, based on the data collected by the American Civil Liberties Union and other organizations, that are serving life sentences for cannabis. But they say that figure is probably low because it doesn't take into account like older inmates who are serving like longer sentences who likely die while they're serving their terms. So yeah, I see you made a sad face. I know you guys can't see that. I didn't mean to bring that little happy note right in the middle of the pod, but it was just, you know, again, when I was doing the research about Alan Russell, it started to make me think like, well, how many people are actually like in jail for life sentence over cannabis? And I know how many people are in our, you know, A, in this world, B, in this country, C, imprisoned. Still, 69 is a high fucking number to me for people who are serving life sentences for cannabis. So.
Also
a lot of work we still got to do, guys. So.
Oh, yeah. Something super annoying about Lynn Fitch, too, is that she's proud to defend the votes of the people of Mississippi and will continue to fight for their rights. And then, you know, was one of the AGs who signed on in support of suing Texas over voter. So Mississippi is so Republican. She didn't even have to take up this issue.
Yo, they really tried it. They really did everything they could to like let Trump take this election. But
here's,
anyway,
the thing
that's a little side
note. Republicans, they never give up on it. So this is the new move. Even state attorney generals that should not be fucking with this shit take the Trump pact, you know? She's probably been in the room with him twice. He doesn't know who Lynn Fitch is. And she's just standing in line for him. She also is suing the current administration.
Oh, wow. Shocker. What a surprise. Does she also have like best friend bracelets with Marjorie Taylor Greene or.
Oh my God. Imagine if Marjorie Taylor Greene became AG of a state and had the power to just sue. That reality is not far off.
Listen, Sam, okay. it's been a rough day already.
Sorry.
I'm upset at myself for bringing up her name. You know how much she triggers me.
She really does.
I can't stand her.
Okay. So Biden put a commission to study the social cost of carbon. You know, to part of the commitment to climate change, trying to see and evaluate what departments in the administration can be more renewable, what's being wasted, trying to focus on renewable energy. And so she tweeted, with the stroke of a pen, the Biden-Harris administration is creating a backdoor to justify virtually any future decision. I'm like, what? any future decision? What is that? This one order could severely impact daily activities for farms, businesses, and citizens. So before the committee has even finished on their research or published their study, she's assuming it's going to impact farms, businesses, and citizens. Like, yeah, it's going to affect everybody. It's going to affect all y'all. Guess what? Because we're all dying from carbon. And guess, you will be trained and get a new renewable job. Well, you will have to change your practices. Open it up for industry. The Republicans always say they're, oh, capitalist, the mother of innovation, or it, whatever. Like, we're capitalist is king. New business is the fair market. Well, this is the free market in action. Mm-hmm. It's better for business.
And also, Lynn, you seem to be concerned that people can just override things. Have you been paying attention in what's happening in your state? I don't know if you know this, but on a 3-1 margin, your constituents voted to legalize medicinal cannabis in your state, and your Supreme Court decided because the 5th congressional district in your state doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, well, to be fair, Lynn Fitch did think that they should have been heard.
Oh my God, that's right. You did say that before we had the pod.
Yeah.
We got it all coming together. Okay, you know what, yeah. Lynn?
Well, no, I mean, no.
It's if you could see that, then you're again a hypocrite. You can't see.
Like, so a quote, she was on some Mississippi podcast radio show. And she said, if you look at how the law is written, it says you look at the petition based on 5 congressional districts. This met the letter of the law. We have 4 congressional districts now, but it's semantics. We're talking about just the numbers, but they all met the criteria and the requirement to be able to move forward. So she's saying because of they got those votes that
right.
represented the 5 districts, you know, they could have moved forward.
Okay, Lynn. All right, Lynn, I see you. Listen, that's the thing. You gotta give people, you know, you gotta acknowledge when they get it right. Now, if you could take that moment and how you feel about this, Lynn, and apply it to the whole abortion thing,
yeah,
I feel a lot better. I feel a lot better about you.
Something about Mississippi that, so Democrat have had their eyes on Georgia last election, right? Because of the shifting demographics. And in Mississippi, almost 99% or 89, I think it was 99% of all black adults in Mississippi are registered Democrat.
Oh, wow.
But the majority for Trump, and still huge because Mississippi has a very racial line when it comes to voting. Wow. The white majority.
Are you serious?
Right. The white majority of Mississippi is Republican, and then blacks are Democrat. Mm. And so it's not even about, it's very, I can't help but, you know, notice how a lot of their laws must be shaped by race.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we know history tells us that abortion laws disproportionately affect women of color and low income women as well. Mississippi is not one of those, it's a swing state now, but it,
right.
Yeah. So it's just, real easy to see how our history has shaped this state so wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting. I was surprised to see that cannabis reform pass on a 3-1 margin in Mississippi.
It's the great unifier.
You know, I'm telling you, cannabis is the equalizer. When I first got into the biz and I was going to different dispensaries and doing demos, like I had a very like limited thought of the cannabis user, or the person who takes advantage of the benefits of cannabis, I should say. I feel like user kind of sounds like derogatory. You know, I don't really like the way that sounds. But you know, so when I got to see the people that were, you know, taking advantage of the benefits of cannabis, my mind was blown about like the age range and the different types of products that are available that allow people to utilize cannabis and find relief for enjoyment or, you know, anything. I just think it's just so great. But yeah, Mississippi, I don't know. I mean, 3-1 margin on cannabis, but then you got, you know, you guys are voting people in like Lynn. I don't know. You know, but I'm not going to visit anytime soon. I can't think of anything that Mississippi has that's like drawing me to come, you know, like, is there like a big, I don't know. Is like a big like Mississippi like attraction like that tourists go for?
I know of no such things.
Yeah, like it would have to be somebody you know from Mississippi to go there, right? I mean, I'm not trying to, listen, I'm not, whatever, but I can't think of anything that would bring me there.
I mean, maybe closer to the like Mississippi Delta on the Mississippi side. That might be fun. Yeah, like riverboats.
Yeah, I mean.
Riverboats.
I bet there's beautiful alligators. Things to offer. If I was like a straight white man, I'd go check out Mississippi. I'd be like, what the fuck's going on here? It's not gonna be like the first place on my list in America to go without like, you know. Yeah, so that's just me.
I mean, the case against Mississippi.
I do like Mississippi. One thing about it is I remember being like in grade school and like remembering how to spell Mississippi, like M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I, you know? So that's a fond memory I have of Mississippi.
I do that when I spell out Mississippi. I did that every time I typed it in. It's like Wednesday.
Oh my God. Every time I did it, I got transformed back into like third grade Tiana, like M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. So yeah. One thing I did want to say, because I think we're about to wrap it up. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but there's a man in Colorado who was arrested for his wife's murder. His name is Barry Morphew. He's 53. He was charged with felony forgery and offenses relating to mail ballots and misdemeanor because not only was he arrested for allegedly murdering his missing wife, he thought it would be a great idea to send in her mail-in ballot and to vote for Trump. So he was previously arrested on May 5th on charges for first-degree murder. After deliberation, tampering with physical evidence, and an attempt to influence a public servant, according to court documents. So his wife, Suzanne, disappeared on May 10th. And her ballot, the Chaffee County clerk's office received her ballot in October. So she went missing in May. They got the ballot in October.
Oh, boy.
Okay. The county clerk reported the alleged voter fraud to authorities, according to an arrest warrant affidavit, which I thought was interesting, was like, wow, for people who were like, oh, my God, it's so easy for voter fraud. Like, this woman went missing, and somehow they were able to cross-reference the fact that she was missing, and her ballot came in.
Yeah.
So seems like they're looking for shit. That's all I'm going to say. And the ballot did not have the required signature, but apparently was signed by her husband on October 15th, according to the affidavit.
He as actually, the witness or something, or did he sign for her?
Yeah, I guess he said that's when I was reading the article, I couldn't really tell like if he says, on the witness's signature line. So yeah, he signed the witness, but it didn't have her signature. And then they seized the ballot and envelope as evidence. And he actually did an interview with the FBI in April, and he confessed to sending the ballot. He said, just because I wanted Trump to win, he allegedly said per transcript of the conversation, I just thought, give him another vote. I figured all these guys are cheating. She was going to vote for Trump anyway. I didn't know you couldn't do that for your spouse.
I didn't know you could do that for yourself. I didn't know I could bestow this favor upon her.
No, he said, I didn't know you couldn't do that for your spouse. I didn't know you couldn't just like send in their ballot as a witness since they're missing, and you knew they wanted to vote for somebody, but then apparently you're accused also of murdering them.
So, like, what the hell?
So, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, so that happened. And I thought it was crazy. And I just felt like I couldn't just keep it to myself. I wanted to share it with you, Sammy. I wanted to share it with everybody listening. I don't know. Like,
he went on radio shows and stuff, and he was begging for her return.
See, that's always the craziest thing to me. People are deceitful.
Oh my God. He went on, I love my wife. I would never hurt my wife. He told news stations KDVR last fall. She is the light of my and my daughter's lives. This whole thing is killing us, and that is why I want our privacy.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Sam.
Oh my God, this is bewildering.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to kind of see what happens, but I wonder if he will get convicted of murdering her or not.
Wow.
I mean, clearly he's going to get convicted of voting for her, right? A voter fraud.
It's not even a love of Trump. How, I mean, rest in peace, this poor woman of this violence, but Barry or whatever your name, how are you so dumb as to commit a murder and then sign for
privilege?
Don't you watch CSI?
Privilege lets you think that there's no way you'll get caught because you haven't gotten caught for other bullshit you've done.
That's right. Okay.
You know, like, only privilege allows, like, a certain level of privilege allows you to think, like,
but
what was his
other warrant, though?
And then send in their fucking mail in ballot. Like, he probably was like, he's like, you know, chill. I'm like, yeah, I got rid of it. I got away with that murder. That's pretty cool. And then her ballot came in. He looked at it like, maybe I could send that in. One more vote for Trump in Colorado. He probably did it like sitting at fucking Lauren Boebert's like restaurant. What's it called? The one that's like a gun theme one. He was like,
I don't know. I don't want to know about that.
It's terrible. She's my second aided person in the house.
What did they find her like in the woods or something? Like, what had did they find her?
I can't remember how they found her. The article I was like looking at was more about the fact that she that he like voted for her. But let's see.
Wow, another thing.
What?
He said in a video posted on Facebook, oh, Suzanne, if anyone is out there that can hear this, that has you, please, we'll do whatever it takes to bring you back. No questions asked. He said in the video posted on Facebook, however much they want, I will do whatever it takes to get you back, honey. I love you. I want you back so bad.
Crazy.
These all right, people go to great lengths to vote for that guy. Yeah, you know, he's still lost, bro.
It's wild.
But wait, what was his other prior? Like that linked him to this? Did he have another? Or no, it just linked her missing with her vote being cast. That's it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how the
that gives me a little faith in election integrity.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the election board was like, wait, no, this bitch is like missing. Like, I was very impressed. Again, I would just like to reiterate that 95% of the ballots casted in the 2020 elections have a paper receipt. So there was no fraud, okay?
Biden. No fraud.
I don't want Biden to be president as much as anybody else, but he is, okay? I voted for him. I wanted Warren. She had a plan.
Yeah, she had a plan. My student loans would be gone if she was in office. Guys, if you like, subscribe, but leave a nice comment because that will push our algorithms and people will hear it, will find out about us.
We love it. We love it. We're so happy to be back. Again, I'm so grateful, like I said, to have this space to decompress after a long day. Again, shout out to our Queen of the Week, Papa Jack, and like Sam said, follow, like, subscribe, leave a comment, and we'll be back next week. See you guys soon.
Bye, guys.